Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthier weight and get on with your life. That's what it's all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. Now, that is especially challenging in these days of quarantine. And I am going to get to that in a moment. But first, if you want to call in and talk with me, the number here is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. You're going to get patched into Ronan, my engineer at the studio, who's also working from home, and he's going to get you to me. We're going to make it happen. So if you want to call me, you can. Because, you know, it's really important to talk about what is eating at you. The real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, any kind of problematic, unhealthy, unhappy relationship with food, the real problem is not food. The real problem is what is eating at you, what is weighing on you. Now, being in quarantine has been really tough, really, really scary for the world, I think. So many tens of thousands of people have died. As you know, I lost someone to COVID. I can't really wrap my mind around the scope of loss of life, loss of our way of life, so much uncertainty about the future. It is a really scary time for all of us. And it's also a time that is bringing out the best in so many of us. It's a time that makes us think about who our heroes really are. When we look at supermarket workers in a whole new way, when we look at nurses and doctors and healthcare workers with a new respect, with awe, it's a time when people who aren't frontline workers are making a difference. And I want to thank one person who really touched me with his generosity. Harry Minot heard about the program that I'm doing with Kelly Gunter, who's the author of You Have Such a Pretty Face, amazing memoir. And Harry decided he wanted to gift a subscription of our program, the Binge Free Babes. He wanted to gift a subscription to whoever might benefit. Harry has been a radio show himself. And if you follow him on Medium, that's Harry Minot, M-I-N-O-T, you can read his post about his own weight struggles. Yes, guys struggle too. Lots and lots of guys struggle too. This is not just a women's issue. Anyway, Harry found out about Binge Free Babes, which is our monthly group coaching program that Kelly and I are doing that we just launched. And he decided that he was going to pay the monthly subscription fee for a stranger, just someone who wanted to do the program but couldn't afford it. He wanted to pay for somebody, a stranger he didn't know. He left it up to us to pick who that person would be, just so that someone could benefit from the program. And that was so generous and thoughtful, and it just truly warmed our hearts. So Kelly Gunter and I are just so grateful for Harry Minot and people like Harry Minot. Thank you, Harry, for helping to make a difference in somebody's life. And if you're interested in the program, go to bingefreebabes.com and discover what Kelly and I are doing and why we are so super excited about it. Okay, so let's get to the show. I have a question from Carly Gash. Jenny is saying, this is amazing. What a great person. So generous. Yes. And there, Harry Minot, you are wonderful. And it's just amazing. It just made us so happy and kind of restored faith in the world. When someone does that, it restores your faith in the world. When other people are doing things that perhaps make you lose faith in humanity, but people like Harry make you restore your faith. And there are many more people like Harry. And if you know someone who's doing an act of generosity, let me know. Let me know. Write in and let me know. And I'm gonna acknowledge them on the show. There we have it. Okay, so Carly Gash, her question is, she says, she wants to know how to stop being anxious, stop wasting the whole day in worry and negative thinking. She calls it negative analysis paralysis, and actually start doing things to move life forward. So Carly Gash, often what happens when we're stuck is that we're stuck out of fear. And fear is all about what could happen, what might happen, all the terrible things that could happen. We start thinking about it, and then we start having anxiety in the present about a future that hasn't happened and may not happen, but we get so scared about it that we actually can't let ourselves move forward. We can't let ourselves take the step, because what if that terrible thing happens, or what if it doesn't work out, or what if you get crushed, or what if you fail, or you know, the what ifs start taking over. So I would suggest, Carly Gash, that what you want to look at, what is it that is making you anxious? What are the fears that are making you anxious? And if those fears are based on what ifs, what could happen, what if this happens, what if that happens, then you're having anxiety in the present about a future that may not exist, probably won't exist, could, but probably not. But the reality is it doesn't exist now. And if you have present anxiety about the future, it's going to keep you stuck. Very, very, very stuck. So what is the solution? The solution is to stay with what is. What is reality. It is what you know to be true. It's not a feeling. It's reality. It's not a thought. It's reality. So Carly Gash and whoever can relate to this, think about the thing that you are anxious about. What is keeping you stuck? And whatever it is, remember what is. So let me think of an example. What if I go for a walk and I pass someone and I get coronavirus, and then I end up in the hospital, and then I can't pay my bills, and I lose my job, and then I'm out on the street, and that, like, I mean, this is an extreme example, but this is how thoughts can spin out, and it's all what if. So that's all what if. That's all fear about the future. So what is I don't have coronavirus, okay? And if I go out on the street, I am going to wear a mask, and I am going to be careful, and I'm going to take every precaution that I don't, so that I keep myself safe. You just stay with what is, and you really ground yourself in that. I'm not sure that that is the best example, but because there's so many uncertainties around that, but you get the idea. Instead of spinning out, and, which leads you into what Carly Gash calls negative analysis paralysis, which the analysis is usually the what if. What if this happens, and what if that happens, and what if that happens, and what if that doesn't happen? So that is one thing to keep in mind. That is one way people feel stuck. Another way is fear of failure, which again is another what if. What if I fail? And also sometimes, and this is very subtle, fear of success. And every time I mention this, people say, what are you talking about? How could I be afraid of success? Well, let's take fear of losing weight. And most people will say they are not afraid of losing weight. They say, I want to lose weight. I want to feel good. That's all that I want. I will be so happy if I do that. What are you talking about? Fear of being thin, scared of being skinny. What are you saying? Well, here's the thing. Consciously, you want to lose weight. Consciously, you want to walk into any store, and in the times when we can walk into a store, or order anything on Amazon and know it's going to fit. and feel good about it, order anything online and say, it's going to fit and I'm going to feel good. That would be great. Not worry about what you're eating. Be able to go out to dinner and not feel self-conscious. Not worry about, oh, are you going to fit into that booth, or are people going to be staring at you, or can you not wear that your favorite outfit because it no longer fits? That's what you want. Of course, that's what you want. Feel healthy. Go run around with your kids, your grandkids. Go on a hike. Go, like, that's what you want. Of course, that's what you want. But there are hidden reasons that might be scaring you. For example, a common one is being objectified. A lot of people are afraid that when they get to a certain weight and they look a certain way, they're going to be objectified by other people. They're going to be treated like a piece of meat. They're going to be looked at as just an object. They don't like that, especially if you've had any kind of abuse issue, any trauma in your past in which you are abused, especially sexually abused, then being the object of attraction can be very scary. So that is one example of why the thing we want is also sometimes the thing that we don't want. So a fear of success also means, well, what if I get this success and then I lose it? Often there's a people will say, well, the higher I climb, the farther I'll fall. What does that say? That makes a direct connection between getting what you want and losing everything. If you don't let yourself step into paradise, you're not going to get kicked out of paradise. So that is one reason why people get stuck, whether it's with weight loss, with health, anything. If some part of you is afraid that you can't hold on to the good, then you might not let yourself have it. So that is... those are my thoughts. Carla Gash, I hope you find that helpful. Let me know. Write in or call in. Let me know if that resonates with you or if you have any further questions. Okay, so again, if you would like to join me, the number is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. You're going to connect with Ronan, and he's going to connect you with me. The miracle of technology. So I've been hearing a lot about the COVID-19, as in not the virus, but the ninth.
Hello, Dr. Nina.
Hello. Hi. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me?
Nina, hello.
Yep. Can you hear me? I can hear you. Yep. Yep,
okay,
I hear
wonderful.
You.
How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I've been struggling with something, kind of. So I guess just like guilt or shame in general, which I think is something I've been struggling with for a long time.
Guilt or shame.
And yeah, guilt or shame related to food or eating something and then feeling guilty. Or so I saw these like Siggy yogurts at the supermarket, and they're 0% fat, it's vanilla flavor, and it's 110 calories, which isn't crazy, but, you know, it has, like, 12 carbs, I guess this isn't that
Nicole,
bad, but 9 grams of sugar.
Nicole,
yeah. See, I'm being crazy again. Yeah,
no, stop. I'm going to stop you because I don't even care what it is.
Okay.
You're feeling guilty about what you're eating, even though your conscious mind knows that you're eating these yogurt sticks that are perfectly healthy and perfectly fine, right? You're still feeling guilty.
Yeah.
And then feeling shame when you eat it.
Yeah.
So two things. One is guilt is when we feel bad about something. We say, oh, I ate too many yogurt sticks, or, oh, I ate too much pizza, or, oh, I wish I hadn't had that cake. Oh, well, you know, I'll be healthier at my next meal or tomorrow or whatever it is. So guilt is just a guilt is feeling bad about something you've done or not done. Shame is feeling bad about yourself. So shame is, I ate that pizza and now I feel terrible about myself. I ate those yogurt sticks and I feel shame. There's something wrong with me.
No, it's more guilt. It's not shame. It's more,
So it's guilt. So then if it's more guilt, it used to be shame. So it's now gone to guilt for you. That's good, because that's what we want. We've got to go to from guilt, from shame to guilt to no guilt. Mm-hmm. I guess I would be wondering if you weren't, what am I about to ask you? What do you think I'm going to say? Putting you on the
spot.
Well,
I know if you weren't thinking about food, what would you be thinking about?
You,
and what are you turning away from? If you're turning to food, you're turning away from something else. You're turning away from something else.
That's right. If you weren't thinking about yogurt sticks in this case, if you weren't thinking about food, what would be bothering you?
Yeah, I don't want to think about work. I'm sick of work. I don't like work. I don't feel passionate about work. And I just don't like working right now. I feel like I need a break, or I don't like what I'm doing, or it just feels like work and I just don't like it.
You hate work. Yeah. So it is easier. Look at how that just came out. Just, I hate work. Yeah. I hate everything about work. I don't want to do work. It's a distraction. So sometimes we focus on food and weight and all and body image and all of that because it distracts us from a deeper worry, it distracts us from knowing what we don't want to know.
Mm.
And so what does it mean
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
It means I don't know what to do because I'm a CPA and I was doing tax for a long time, and then I quit my tax job or my accounting shit, being a controller, real estate company, and I took a year off to kind of decide what I wanted to do, and that's when I met you. And then I started doing sales for a company and loved it at the beginning, and now I just feel like I'm not being mentally stimulated or challenged, and I want to learn more in my career, and I just feel lost. Like, if I don't do this, what am I going to do? Because I don't want to do accounting. What am I going to do?
So if you don't want to do accounting, what are you going to do? You feel lost. So notice that feeling lost, there's so much ambiguity. What do you do? How do you find yourself? Whereas thinking about calories and carbs and food and eating it and not eating it, there's no ambiguity. It's very black and white. It's either I can do this or I can't do this. I'm going to eat this or I'm not going to eat this. So your challenge is to explore the feeling of being lost and recognize that you will find an answer, but you will only find an answer if you allow yourself to ask yourself the questions. So instead of should I eat this or shouldn't I eat this? It's what do I enjoy? What do I see my life as? What would be fulfilling to me? And you may find that you take your accounting degree and being a CPA and just have to say goodbye to it, because it may not be the right thing for you. I mean, it may be, but it may not be. And be willing to say, okay, I'm going to figure out what is most fulfilling to me.
How do I figure that out?
Well, there are books about now that we're all stuck at home, still continuing to be stuck at home. Read one book I know is called What Color Is Your Parachute? And it's been around forever. And it's I think it's on its 30th edition, something like that. And it helps you. Books like that can help you start to ask yourself the question, what is it that you enjoy? What jobs, what careers, what would be well suited to you? Because you need some guidance in being able to figure out those answers. You need someone to help you ask you the questions and to be able to be comfortable with uncertainty.
I feel comfortable with uncertainty. You said so many good things. I feel like I'm being ungrateful because so many people during this time were laid off, furloughed, don't have jobs. and I have a job and it's easy money and I feel like I'm being ungrateful and I'm just
let me address that. Okay. So you feel ungrateful because you have a job and you don't like it at a time when many people are out of work and really suffering. You are drawing, you're drawing kind of a false equivalency between the suffering of people who are out of jobs and your own situation. So you seem to be telling yourself you should be lucky to have this job. How dare you be unhappy? And the reality is you can recognize and your heart can go out to people who have lost their jobs and their lives and their livelihood and all of those things and still be allow yourself to be upset about elements of your situation. You can be grateful for your situation, grateful that you have a job, and still hate your job and attend to that. So having mixed feelings is very important. To be able to hate your job and be grateful for it and want to do something new, holding all of those rather than just say, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this. Let me think about, which is what you did, was now you're focusing on food because it distracts you from what's really going on inside. If you feel it, it needs your attention.
Yeah. You always hit the nail on the head. What's new? Huh? You're so good.
Not always, but I try.
Yeah, most of the time. Okay.
Does that help?
So now I'm doing instead of food, sometimes I feel like I'm turning away from work by doing online shopping and buying shit I don't need, spending money for no reason when I should be like saving during this time. I just feel like all over the place and I feel, I don't know, I want to have it together.
If you're binge shopping too, if you're doing a little if you're feeling bingy with shopping, which is very common, and it's something that, you know, I talk about in my book, a lot of people do with shopping what they do with food. Do with money what they do with food, and that includes shopping. It's just another distraction from you. It's another way of avoiding or protecting yourself from knowing what it is that you actually have to know and deal with. And it has all kinds of symbolism. If you're, you know, which I go into in the book, if you're, you know, if you're feeling empty enough, it can feel like, you know, you're filling up on something, filling your home instead of filling your stomach. But that's it. And I don't think it totally pertains to you. I think you're just distracting yourself from what it is that you don't want to know, which is that this is not satisfying.
Yeah. I know you can't answer this for me and I'm just speaking out loud, but I used to be like literally the number one salesperson at the company I'm working for. And right now I'm not performing very well. And my boyfriend thinks it's because I'm working from home instead of going to the office. And I have the option to go to the office, but I don't want to go to the office. And so he thinks the only variable that changed is me not going to the office. And that's why I don't feel motivated. So I don't know if maybe I should just like take some time off and like, I don't know, chill, organize, self-exploration.
I think you need to probably keep working so you keep your job, but you also want to look at the same time. I'm not sure if the variable that has changed is whether you're going to the office or not. Sounds to me as if you're coming to the realization that this is not satisfying to you, that this is not fulfilling. You mentioned that it's not mentally challenging to you, that it's not what you really want to do. That's what I hear you saying. That's what you said. So it going to the office is not going to magically make you be more into it when the reality is you're unsatisfied and you want to do something more challenging, more satisfying. You got to figure out what that is. So go on Amazon and look up what color is your parachute and other books like that and decide what is the right one for you. And just get started on that self-exploration, which you can do while you're also working. Mm-hmm. You don't have to quit your job to do it. You can if you want.
Okay.
But
thank you, Dr. Nina.
Holding mixed feelings. That's
holding
the key.
Feelings.
And you won't be focused on food.
Okay.
All right.
Love you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me know how it goes.
Very well. Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Remember, if you're turning to food, you're turning away from something else. Food is the solution to the problem. It is not the problem. So Nicole is focusing on yogurt sticks, thinking that's the problem. She knows it's not. That's why she's calling me. Thinking that's the problem, when the real problem is that she's unsatisfied in her career. She's unsatisfied in her job. She's feeling unhappy in her job. And so as long as she's focusing on food, she is not thinking about the deeper issues. So if you're focusing on food, ask yourself, if you were not looking at this, if you were not so focused on that, what would be on your mind? What is it doing for you? What is eating doing for you? Remember, it's a frenemy, does something for you. It's helping you in some way. It's also hurting you. All right, so one of the things that I hear a lot about, and by the way, if you want to call me, 818-602-4929, I would love to hear from you. So, I'm getting a message that someone tried to call. Ronan, if you can hear this, it's, I think she's going to try again. She's messaging me that, all right, move on. Let's see. Who's on? Sorry, guys, I've got to deal with this. Ronan and I are trying to figure out. See. Oh no. Never mind. That was a different caller. Okay. All right. I'm just talking to myself apparently. All right. So the COVID-19, not referring to the virus, referring to the 19 pounds everyone thinks that they are going to be gaining during quarantine. And I found this article I want to share with you. It is called, Everyone is Terrified of Getting Quarantine Fat and Just Enough Already, by Lindsay Shallon. She says, smart feminist women are sharing an alarming number of memes about gaining the COVID-15 or the COVID-19 on social media. Why are we so fixated on our weight during a global health crisis? She says, despite the fact that we're going through an unprecedented health crisis, the prevailing message on social media right now is we're somehow supposed to be making the most of our time spent indoors. Write that novel, organize your closet, bake bread, get quarantine fit. She says she doesn't blame anyone for taking up a new hobby in order to distract themselves. You can only have so many conversations with your cat until you begin to feel completely deranged. But the last one, the idea that we should be using all this extra time to lose weight or at least not gain any, moves beyond feeling productive and gives into a societal fear she thought that we were moving past, and that is the fear of getting fat. The collective fat panic that she's seen as she scrolls through social media is appalling, she says. So will the producers of a 600 pound life just find me, or was one meme that has surfaced a lot. A lot of photos of Barbie next to a heavier carby. Get it? Ew. She ate too much during quarantine. Has more than 120,000 likes at a girl with no job on Instagram. It's not just the offensively fat jokes that meme accounts and out-of-touch influencer are posting. What's more shocking are the dozens of frantic weight gain comments. almost all masked in sarcasm or wry self-deprecation that she has seen acquaintances post. These are smart women, the one who usually rally against diet talk and fat phobia. They are sharing photos of cookies with captions like, "Going to have to buy a size up after this," or "Looks like I won't be wearing jeans ever again." Eating the pasta is what you're worried about? Okay. And it's not just her circle of friends. An alarming number of people are publicly broadcasting their fear that this time indoors will cause them to gain weight. It's something even body positive influencers are surprised to see. First of all, why are we even talking about our bodies? Why aren't we talking about the fact that we're in a world crisis, or what can we do to help other people? All of a sudden, the term beach body is everywhere again. So one person says she thinks it's a control issue. People may be personally concerned about putting on a few pounds during this time, but given that everyone's routine is out of sorts, those thoughts have definitely crept into my mind. But what concerns her is how many influencers are sharing the message about fear of gaining weight during this time. People don't realize that talking negatively about their bodies at this time could really trigger similar feelings in other people. This is not from the article. This is me thinking my thoughts, which is that, look, it is easier and less scary to think about the number on the scale during this time than it is to think about what's happening in the world. What's happening in the world is really frightening. The uncertainty, the opening up too soon. Some people think, I'm one of those people. I'm personally very afraid of that. The uncertainty, the unknown, all of these scary elements, it's very, very frightening. And it's too big. It's too big to wrap our minds around. So we focus on something we can control. We focus on something that is easier to, if you pardon the expression, easier to stomach. So this is something that this article is talking about. What's happening? What's happening? She said, this is Ruthie Friedlander, co-founder of The Chain, a nonprofit network for women in fashion and media who are coping with eating disorders. She says, I wish I could say this is simply more of the same noise I'm used to dealing with. I'm a realist. I live in a world where there's media that's not going to be sensitive to the fact that I have an eating disorder. But this feels different, given that there's a serious world health crisis going on. Not only are eating disorder sufferers dealing with worsened symptoms or behaviors, but we're also dealing with the general anxiety around the virus. And by the way, that anxiety around the virus can lead to eating disorders, can lead to disordered eating. It feels like I'm being hit when I'm already down. So this is just a really, really hard time for so many people. And again, it's easier to focus on certainty and black and white. It's easier to say, oh, if I eat this many calories, I'll gain weight, than it is to say, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. What's going to happen with my summer plans? Am I going to be able to reschedule them to next summer or the summer after? Will I ever travel again? What's going to happen? So we go for certainty above all. And that's part of why, as much as you know, these writers are deploring the fact that at a time when we're in a pandemic, that people are focused on their weight, I think we also have to remember why. It is easier to focus on your weight than what is weighing on you. And that goes for times of pandemic, and it goes for all times. So it's a distraction from something that's painful or difficult. Remember that and have compassion for yourself. Have compassion for the fact that if you are You know, if you're focusing on your on food, if you're focusing on you know, what's going on with the scale, with what you're eating, if you're focused on and freaking out about food, maybe it's keeping you from being freaked out about something else. So there you have it. Okay. So one thing that so several people have written me and said, please keep talking about shame. I keep talking about it and then it's starting and then I get calls and then I end up not talking about shame anymore. So I'm going to go back to the idea of the shame that comes with worrying about weight, with being overweight, with feeling like you can't control food, with feeling like there's something wrong with you. Sometimes when we think there's something wrong with us, which is shame, shame is there's something wrong with me. Guilt is there's something wrong with what I'm doing. Shame is there's something wrong with me as a person, just inherently, and it feels horrible. And shame can also lead to eating, because when you feel terrible about yourself and you're shaming yourself, then you might use food to escape your own shaming voice. So again, here is what shame sounds like, courtesy of Ronald Potter Efron and Patricia Potter Efron's book, Letting Go of Shame, Understanding How Shame Affects Your Life. This is so important if you want to heal your relationship with food, because when you're out of control with food, if you think you have no willpower, that's shaming yourself. And we want to really address that and challenge that. And when you let go of shame and you're compassionate with yourself, everything changes. Beliefs and ideas lead to feeling, lead to behavior. If you shame yourself with thoughts, you suck, you're never gonna have willpower, you're never gonna lose weight, you're a loser, no one's ever gonna love you, no one's ever gonna, like, those are shaming thoughts. You feel horrible. You feel shame, you feel sadness, you just feel horrible. And if you feel horrible and you have no other way of making yourself feel better other than food, well, guess what? You're going to eat. It's going to take you away from that horrible state. So part of the process of change is change the thoughts and beliefs. Be more compassionate. Change the way you think about yourself. And then the other aspect of it is change the way that you respond to yourself.
Oh. Hello.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hi, this is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the show.
What? Hi, Dr. Nina.
What's going on? What's eating at you?
What's eating at me? I just want to say first off that you're doing such a good thing for people, allowing an hour of your time each week for people to vent, and appreciate it.
Well, you got to get it out.
You know that.
Well, thank you, Jenny. I mean, I want to normalize that we all feel things. We all feel things intensely, and you got to get it out. When it stays in you, it affects you. It affects the way you think about yourself, the way you feel about yourself, the way you feel. So when you get it out, then it's gone. So that's the only way to get rid of feelings, right? Is to actually feel them. So what is on your mind today?
Well, I'm having a lot of issues, and it's just happened recently. I thought I had kept it together, especially since the pandemic started. I was proud of myself for keeping sane and being able to handle everything, and now I'm feeling very out of control, and fearful.
Cool.
Yet I don't want to be around people at the same time.
Right. So,
hello?
Yeah, I lost you for a second. You said you were feeling out of control and fearful, and then you went away for a second, and then you said you didn't want to be around people, which of course you miss. So
yeah,
I think you're saying
feel,
you miss people.
Well, I feel like I don't want to be around people at the same time. and I'm having panic about being alone, and then yet I don't want to be around. I feel like I want to just not be around people.
So
at the same time. So
yeah, tell me about the panic about being alone.
If you've ever had a panic attack, it's very scary. And especially if you're having obsessive thoughts about whatever, about, you know, food or getting sick or money or whatever it is. I just have this horrible fear that I'm just going to like die on my floor. No one's going to find me.
Okay. So
I laugh because it seems so ridiculous when I say it out loud, but when I'm in that panic mode, it's real.
So, okay. So you're saying that when you're in the panic mode and you're having these panic attacks, that you have this fear that you're going to die alone and no one is ever going to, and then no one's going to find you. You're going to be alone. So could we wonder that fear, and I know you said it sounded ridiculous as you said it aloud. However, we're not going to judge it. We're going to be curious, not critical, because I would be wondering if you have that fear about the future, is it really a statement about your past and your present feeling alone? I mean, is feeling alone something that is familiar to you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's during a time like this, it's even scarier, you know. And then feeling, it's just an out of control feeling. And I never until I was kind of out of control.
Okay.
Did you lose me?
We lost you a little bit, but you're back. The world is out of control. The world is out of control, and it has really put us in touch with the fragility of our sense of control over our own lives. The things that we take for granted, mm-hmm. suddenly, boom, gone. The things we think mm-hmm. could never change. Who would think that this would happen? You could never imagine it in a million years. You could never imagine it. Even during mm-hmm. wartime, restaurants were open. People were getting together. This is unprecedented. This is something we could have never foreseen. And so the world is out of control. When the world is out of control, it can heighten our sense of being out of control. But so the voice of panic is, oh my God, I'm going to be obliterated in some way, and I'm going to be, and no one will know. And so perhaps that thought is unmasking a sense of being alone, being disconnected from people that you might have been feeling before, but this pandemic brought it into your conscious awareness, something like that. Does that resonate?
Yeah. I think it's true. A lot of people turn to, you know, some sort of binging. For me, it hasn't been as much food as it has been alcohol. And, you know,
it does the same thing. It does the same thing. It takes you away from you. And so whether you're binging on food or alcohol or whatever it is that anyone is doing to cope, because remember, it's a way of coping. It's you're trying to help yourself, but of course it ends up hurting you. And the key is to be able to be responsive to yourself, to respond to yourself instead of abandon yourself. Because when we turn to food, when we turn to alcohol, when we turn to, you know, anything else that people do to get away from themselves, they're abandoning themselves. And learning how to be present for yourself, that's why I developed my VARE acronym, which really it stands for validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. And that's how you comfort mm-hmm. yourself and stay grounded. So you say, you know, like I would say, Jenny, of course you are panicking. This is super scary. Of course you are. How could you not feel this way? It's very anxiety producing. There's a lot of uncertainty. It's very, very scary. And yes, you feel very, very alone because you are. And that feels terrible. So that's the validate and acknowledge. You've got to recognize it and validate it before you say the reassurance, which is this is going to end. Yes, there is uncertainty about when. You are alone now, but you will not always be alone. You can connect with other people in some way. Look, we're talking. You called me. Mm-hmm. You're not alone in this moment. I'm with you, and so are tens of thousands of other people who are listening or will listen. So, oops, I shouldn't have said that. No, you're just talking to me. It's just me. It's just me. Just you and me. But you're not alone. You may feel alone and you may be alone, but you won't always be alone. And this is going to end. And this is not how it's always going to be. And we will all find our new way of being in the world. And if anything, maybe this is teaching us all, not just you, Jenny, but how important it is to really not only be self-sufficient, not be independent, but be interdependent, to take mm-hmm. care of ourselves and connect with other people, the right people, of mm-hmm. course. Yeah. And when you can be responsive to yourself, sounds like you're not totally alone. Sounds like someone's there with you. Do I hear a barking? What do I hear?
I'm sitting in my car.
What do I hear? I swear I heard barking.
Yeah, it's the dog. It's the doggy walking and walking their dogs. And
oh, okay.
I'm looking at the world go by me, and I'm just in my own weird bubble of, you know, self-hatred.
Why self-hatred? Why self-hatred?
You know, when I had, you know, my recent panic attack, I can't trust myself because it did that to me. And it's, you know, it's hard to swallow when this thing that you think you have so much control over, because, well, you're in it, you know, you're inside of this body, and then it turns on you, and I'm mad at myself.
Okay, so turning against yourself and being mad at your body is only going to make things worse. Instead of being mad at yourself, say, okay, my body is telling me something. My body, I had a panic attack, and we have a mind-body connection. So your body is communicating to you. And thank your body. Say, as awful as that panic attack was, it's a communication from me to me that I need to nurture myself more. I need to take care of myself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Because when you're full of self-hatred, remember, thoughts lead to emotions, lead to behavior. If you're mad at yourself, you feel terrible, and then you're going to use something to get away from you. When you say,
"Yep,
this is important information that I need to listen to myself. My body is helping me." Then it's a different story.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
So self-care, not self-hatred.
Thank you, Nina. I will try that perspective.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny. Let me know how it goes, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I was talking about shame, and Jenny called, and turning on yourself is a form of shaming yourself. I'm going to get back to talking about shame next week, because that is the end of our show. I want to thank you again for joining me here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And again, I just want to tell everybody, you're doing the best you can. You're going through an unprecedented time of anxiety and uncertainty and fear and emotional trauma. This is traumatizing everybody, including you. And you get to acknowledge that and take care of yourself. Alexa, stop. Why is Alexa talking to me? I don't even understand that. Anyway, it's me and Alexa saying, Alexa, stop. Saying thank you for joining me today. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Please, at LA Talk Radio, you can listen live. Now you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where podcasts are. If you're interested in the amazing new program I'm offering with Kelly Gunter, Binge Free Babes, just head over to bingefreebabes.com. We just started on Monday, and it was one of the most incredible experiences that I have ever had in a group ever. Incredible. Number of women who are there to support each other and to learn and to grow and to heal. So if you want to join us, head over to bingefreebabes.com, and I will see you next week. Thanks again for joining. Take good care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.